Hi, everyone. Before we start today's very important episode, I have an ask of you all, our generous, loving community. Danielle and I have decided to try and organize a raise of funds for an organization that is incredibly close to our hearts. And please just listen to this. I promise I'll be done in 45 seconds. And that is for Baby to Baby. Baby to Baby is a nonprofit led by co-CEOs Kelly Sawyer, Patrick Koff, and Nora Weinstein. It provides children living in poverty with diapers, clothing, all the basic necessities that every child deserves. And in the last 10 years, Baby to Baby has distributed over 200 million items to children in homeless shelters, domestic violence programs, foster care, hospitals, and underserved schools, as well as children who have lost everything in the wake of disaster. Here at Bitch Sesh, we are asking for support from you all for their holiday family-to-family program. You guys have always come through for us, and I know we have asked to raise money for other important causes in the past, but here we are again asking for more. Sorry. So Baby to Baby's family-to-family program is so wonderful. It provides for families living in poverty who have been impacted by the pandemic. And in this case, we are focusing on families in Los Angeles because we are going to be buying presents and needs that we can deliver immediately to these kids where Danielle and I are located. Before the COVID-19 crisis, the families Baby to Baby serves were struggling to provide basic necessities for their kids. And now they're struggling even more due to months of lost income, lost jobs, lack of access to these essential items. This money, any amount that you donate, will go toward fulfilling holiday wishes for kids whose presents are entirely off the table for them this year, as well as for their immediate winter needs. With every match, a child in Baby to Baby's program will receive basic essentials and also safety items that their families can't afford. It costs around $250 per child to do this. And as a community, Danielle and I will match up to $10,000. And we're hoping we can raise even more than that. We've done it in the past. We're so passionate about this. All to say, please consider donating money on behalf of our amazing Bitch Sesh community. When we are paired with families, for every $250 we raise, we will get specific items that each child and specific families wants for Christmas. It feels so good to buy things that you know a child is looking for and longing for. Link to donate in our show notes or in our Instagram bios. Any amount is so helpful and deeply appreciated. But if you cannot donate money, totally understandable in these times. Could you consider, if you live in or around Los Angeles, donating your time? We're looking for 20 intrepid volunteers to join me to shop for the specific kids we are assigned to. We'll meet together at Target in Culver City. Each child, we will have our marching orders and our wish list, and then we'll adjourn for lunch together, and then we'll go to the Baby to Baby headquarters in Culver City and have a wrapping party. We'll throw on some holiday tunes. It's going to be great. This would take place on Tuesday, December 7th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. I know that's a lot of time. We're also busy, but this, again, will make such a direct impact on a child's life. If you are interested at all, if you want to donate, you can go to the link in the show notes or go to Danielle or my Instagram. Go into our bio. You'll see the link. That's at Casey Rose Wilson, at Danielle Caroline Schneider. And if you can donate your time on Tuesday, December 7th from 10 to 4 in Culver City, please email us at bootsonthegroundbs@gmail.com. bootsonthegroundbs@gmail.com with your name and contact info, and we'll get in touch. I will see you there. I'm excited to meet you all and rap with you. I'm not great at rapping, but you know what? My love language is gifts, and I know that's a sad love language, but perhaps that's why I care so much about this organization and about this project. And we will keep you posted as to how much we raise. Let's do this as part of our community. Thank you so much for listening to this. Let's get in the holiday spirit. And without further ado, let's please get into this week's episode of Bitch Sesh. Thanks. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, Casey.
What a week I missed.
Yeah, you really missed a week. I mean, but even though you missed it, Casey, you were in the thick of it because you were in the belly of the beast. You were.
You're right.
Watch What Happens Live. I mean, you were in the room where it happens on some level.
That's right. I was. You know, I can't deny that. But it was also like I wasn't with you guys, my family. You know,
yes.
At the end of the day, I didn't get to come home to you.
No,
you know?
But now you're home. And tell us, I mean, I think everyone wants to know, you were in, you know, with Whitney Rose.
That's right. That's right.
And with the wild rose herself.
With the wild rose herself. Well, there were some wild things that happened on the way over because I had a black Altuzura dress that I was going to wear, very low cut, because I felt Whitney's going to, you know, she's going to wear the TTs.
Yeah,
the TTs are going to come out.
Yes, you're going to see a lot of bod. No, you don't want to be shown up.
And I don't want to be caught with my pants down.
No.
I want my pants down.
Actually, you want to be caught with your pants down.
Exactly. And I wanted to come to play, you know? It was a Halloween episode. I always want to try to turn it out for Andy. All I can tell you is it didn't work.
What happened?
Not work.
What
so happened? Much happened, Danielle, with the bra and the this, and I was like sweating, shaking. It was raining in New York. I'm trying to get over there. Of course, I don't want to keep Andy waiting.
No.
All I have to my name is a very much of a daytime look I did for some other press, and I just said, fuck it. I got to throw it. I've got a job to do out there.
You do.
You know?
It's work.
How much can I deal with this outfit at a certain point? Put it on. I had a couple friends, my makeup person, literally on hands and knees trying to pull down slips, get up Spanx. Andy breezes in, gives me a copy of Diamonds. What, the new book? Diamonds and Rosé? Or
I can't wait to get a copy.
I've got one for you, of course.
Oh, thank you.
Of course I got two. Get out there. Now here's Whitney wearing what can only be described as a tankini.
I saw it myself.
A hot pink tankini. With the bronzed TTs out and about, looking gorgeous.
Gorgeous, like stunning, glowing in the dark, if you will.
Dusted with from heavens. And I did rest my head upon the bosom.
You do
didn't
seem
ask.
To.
I'm sure she's called HR. I didn't ask. I needed to.
But can I say you felt right as rain in there? It felt nuzzled in beautifully.
I know. You know, I've never said this on here, Danielle, because I think you and I have kind of. Look, I'm trying to think of the way to phrase this, but you and I along the way, 6 years on this podcast, we have 99.9% reported everything we have to you guys. But there's always been a few times we have to hold on to some things.
We do.
And I just want to say that the trip was full of these times. And all I want to do is promise that everything will come out over time.
Will be revealed.
Will be revealed. But what I will say is that I had a great time with Whitney. She was lovely. I got to judge the costume contest, you know, and Andy, a dream, you know, it was wonderful. And all in all, a great week. It felt so good. And then as I went downstairs, it's pouring rain again. I'm about to get in a cab when I hear an intern say to herself, Craig Conover's upstairs.
The pillow man himself.
Of course, I get back in the elevator.
Of course one does.
Of course. The driver's like, are you coming? I'm like, I'm not. I get back in the elevator, ride right back up. And now I don't watch Winter House and Summer House, which I know is a mistake. And I'm hearing about it from everyone. But everyone's like, Paige is here. Now, Paige means nothing to me.
No, Paige is a name whispered on the wind. I don't know what it means.
I basically turned my back and boxed out Paige.
And whoever she may be.
I will regret it once I see her. But it's like, you know, I had to talk to Craig. Now, what I need to tell you, Danielle, is, oh my God, he is so fucking hot.
Is he?
Yes.
He doesn't.
Danielle, yes.
He doesn't pop on the screen that way, Casey. He comes off.
Okay. And that may be. But when I tell you he puts Shepherd to shame, he's tall. He's confident. He knows his way around a lady. Let me tell you, I was like giggling and I was like, oh, Craig. Tell me about your candle line. He told me he has a new line of holiday candles, Danielle.
Wow. Another candle line?
Danielle, yes. I was so flustered. I didn't even ask what wick, you know, how many wicks. I got a little video of us together. Oh, many said I was flirting with him and they could feel palpable sexual energy. I didn't write that. That's what you all said.
Yeah. It didn't need to be written. It was written in the stars, Casey.
That's right, Danielle. He's so hot. But one thing, Danielle, I'm trying to like, it's so undeniable. I was with two girlfriends. They were just like, this is wild. We got back in the elevator in stunned silence.
Wow.
Not a red-blooded gal or guy around him would feel any differently. But this did make me laugh. I go, so now you've got a holiday line of candles. Of course, I was like, ooh. Wonderful, as though this was like, no one's thought of this.
Yes, as like it's a novel idea that's come out of that, like that just, like, who could have thought?
Who could have? No one I know has done this and brought this to market recently. And so I go, well, that's wonderful, Craig. And he said, you know, it was really fun. He said, Paige and I, she really helped me name the candles. And this one's called Under the Tree.
Wow.
He goes, God, she's helpful. God, she's helpful.
Now, is Paige his girlfriend or just his castmate girlfriend. From... It's his girlfriend from Summer or Winter House.
Yes.
Or from Southern Charm.
She's from one of the homes, be it Summer or Winter. She's resides in that home. So that was amazing, Danielle. Wow. And then if I could share one more quick moment that
Please,
happened.
Please, always. I don't want you to rush through this.
So
I
the
want
next
to take your
day,
time.
The next day, I had the good fortune of doing Drew Barrymore. Now, it was Beauty Week. Okay. And you will see when it airs in November, she asked to do my makeup during the segment. So I feel I was brave this week, Danielle, to go on national television with nothing.
I know. You won't even go. Let me take a picture without some makeup.
I had a full set of lashes on. I'm no dummy. Okay. But that's it. But I had so much fun. I tried to explain Real Housewives to her. And I think we have a window of her to maybe kind of. Maybe like scooch in there, slide in there. We both discussed our love of you and Penn Badgley.
Oh, I thought for just a second, Casey. Oh God, this is so embarrassing.
Okay.
For just a second.
I know what you thought. I'm so sorry.
1 second.
A split second.
A split second. When you said we both discussed our love of you, I thought... Drew Barrymore knew who I was and loved me. And
unfortunately, I meant the number one show on Netflix.
I know. And Casey, can we just live?
Yeah,
can
let's
we just
live
turn back
time. But Danielle, I did tell her about all about the podcast, and she asked
I
about it.
Know,
and
but
we
Casey,
we circled around you. We circled the drain on you.
Casey,
pretty good.
Casey, can we just go back in time for just a minute where I truly believed. Yeah. That Drew Barrymore not only knew me, but loved me. This is a heartbreak. I have gone on a journey in my head and in my heart that I was not prepared for today.
You thought she loved you, not a guy who keeps women in a cage in his basement.
I just have to process this, Casey, because it was-
Danielle, are you crying now? I can't see because, of course, your camera on Zoom, you have me just looking at your boobs.
Well, that's my best feature.
I mean, can you move the camera up so I can see your face? Are you crying?
Well, it was a dream.
Guys, Danielle is crying. Oh, my God. Danielle, she does love you.
I just got excited.
Oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
You know, we grew up at the same time. She's a touchstone for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've loved her for so long.
I totally get that.
I've been on such a long journey with her, like from childhood that... This is just
Danielle, guys, glasses are off. Danielle's wiping her tears. Oh, no.
It was just a moment.
The reason I want you to know so clearly is it's one of those things. It's like how I felt like, well, if Scott Wolf knew me, we would date. You know, it's like it's an inevitability. The only thing standing in between Scott and I was simply not knowing each other. And I know that feels like a lot, but it's not a lot. Because all I'm saying is she will come to know you very soon. I know it and I feel it. And she, not only will she love you, she does love you. She's very into being the connectivity of the universe, Danielle.
This is just embarrassing because I believed.
Well, Danielle, I mean, you also believe that people confuse you for Kate Moss.
Look, the mind can play tricks.
I know.
When you want to believe something so bad,
okay?
it just sounded so true.
Are you okay?
Okay, I'm fine. It was just a ride. It was a quick. It was a jolt. It was like a free fall in an elevator. You know, like a terrifying and brilliant.
It was like my elevator ride back up to cred.
Yes, and so like I'm just processing. I'm fine. I'm just processing.
But are you okay in the larger sense right now?
No, I'm not. It felt like a win, and
now I'm like, how can I get a cameo from her for you? I will make this right.
You have to, because I need...
I will.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, the last thing I was going to say, just two seconds.
Please tell me who else loves me and then does not know who I am. Please
You know,
tell me.
Again, I'm sure the next person I'm going to say does know and love you. I can't imagine that she doesn't.
Okay.
You know?
I'm excited.
I was doing some press with Katherine Hahn for my show.
Oh, another great love of mine.
Great
love of mine.
And she also loves you.
The show.
She can't get enough of you. She wants to be you.
How is she?
Oh, a dream come true. But I'm sitting next to her and we're doing all these kind of junkets and press, and there's a 2 second window between one, and I check my phone and I see a text about Dorit and what had happened in the home evasion.
Yeah.
Danielle, I burst into tears, and Catherine goes, "What? What? Is it your kids?" And I go, "It's Dorit. It's Dorit." And she's like, "Who's Dorit? I'm like, kiss asleep." I was so upset and shaken to my very core. It was so upsetting.
It's so upsetting, and it's terrifying, and it's what people fear. You know, when you go to sleep at night, you're like, I want
to
just
the only thing to fear. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you're like, is my family safe? Yeah. Are we safe? Like, you just want to go to sleep at night. It's the most vulnerable you can be. And it's so, so terrifying.
And we're going to get into it a little more. I think, Danielle, why don't we take a break? Why don't you
take a break?
and I mean the show. Just collect yourself for just 1 second. Although, shout out to my friend Michaela McManus, who plays Scott Speedman's wife, the hottie, who in life is mom of three, gorgeous gal, gets to really get in there with Penn. I've been texting her nonstop. I'm just so excited for her. Season 3.
And Brian Safi is in season 3 as well. I mean,
guys.
I'm sure Drew loves and knows him.
She does like the show a lot. I think that's your way to Drew, is to get in season 4. Yeah.
So I can just easily get into season 4 of you?
Well, I made a plea to the showrunners on Drew. I just said, look, please put me in this. Happy to play a mom. Obviously a mom who fucks. But like, I'll do whatever you need. I say we take a little break, Danielle, because we have a very special guest who's joining us. And I really want to get her hot takes on everything. And I want to give you a sec.
Thank you. Thank you.
You. Danielle, we're back. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I've collected myself. I've gotten over the trauma that I just experienced.
Misunderstanding.
You seem angry at me. I'm not. Okay. Did it happen because of you? Yes. But is it your
because
fault?
Of you. No. It did happen because of you.
It did happen because of you.
Okay. Let's bring out our guest, Danielle.
Now, this is one of the I would say almost most famous guests we've had on the podcast because of her because of many things, but her performance the last time she was here.
Yeah.
It's literally she
delivered a
monologue,
yeah, about one Shannon Bedore.
And it's literally going to be performed in drama workshops and college auditions across this nation.
Juilliard is giving it out as a template for their next auditions. And we're so remiss for just having her back now, because you weren't there, Danielle. I had the pleasure of being with her in person back in before time.
I just got to hear it.
You did. Please welcome the lovely, hilarious writer. She's a writer on Black Lady Sketch Show.
She was a writer on the hilarious President Show, which killed me.
And she has a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Called Dizziest Bee at the Table.
And she also has some new projects brewing that she is not allowed to talk about. And she did not want me to mention this, but I'm saying that because it just seems so good. And I wish I could say that to people for myself, but I don't have any yet I can't talk about. Please welcome Ray Sani.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me again. This is great.
Ray, welcome. Welcome.
I'm excited to be here.
Let me ask you a question. You delivered the famous speech to Shannon Bedore saying, look busy, look busy. And has she delivered on the promise of that premise? Do you think she looks busy now?
I totally think she faked her dog running away this weekend. So,
Ray, how dare you?
So that's busy.
Ray, you little minx. Now, why do you think she did that?
I don't think she faked it. I just like conspiracy theories about the craziest housewives. I also think that Monique Parrott is still alive, you know? So
what?
I don't know.
Okay, you think T'Challa is with us somewhere, like on the black market, sold or somewhere, or like in Monique's basement?
Yeah, like in Monique's basement. She's going to like magically like have an African gray parrot that looks exactly like T'Challa. Like, she finds him in a store for story in 3 years or something.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Not for lazy moms indeed. Ray, where do you land? You know, other things happen this season, but we all know we're here for the Erica, Tom, Girardi. Where are you with all of that? Which is what we have to ask at this point.
Huh. Okay. So I was very Erica is the devil all season. Okay. I'm so embarrassed that this is true. But okay. I think as far as attending a reunion when you're obviously evil and coming off as not so obviously but still obviously evil, she was successful. I don't know. I thought she didn't acquit herself, right? There's no doing that.
No.
But there's only so much that you can do and say and protect yourself legally and be likable, right? So I've given up on expecting her to say the right thing at all. She's going to say alleged victims. She's going to say legitimate claims. She's going to use lawyer speak because she is protecting, unfortunately, an interest. So I've already sort of removed empathy.
Removed your expectation of her having empathy. Yes,
from the table.
Okay.
And if I remove the expectation of empathy for victims or anyone whose feelings were hurt, and study this performance that she's done over the last four episodes. I mean, she's doing a pretty good job. She's looking like she's doing something when she's doing nothing, which is amazing. Like she's coming off like she really is passionate. That's why she's so aggressive when she's just aggressive. But like she's performing these things in a way that's kind of wearing me down. It's kind of like, well, I mean, this is what we were going to get and this is what we asked from her. So what can I say? Now, there were moments where all they did was prove Garcelle and Sutton correct, especially Erica in this last part. The way she jumped down on both Crystal and Sutton were like really, really uncalled
and
for.
And I feel like Sutton didn't even need to get her roller out. She breezed past being called a cunt.
You know?
She was like,
I couldn't.
She was like, go on. It was shocking. They kept cutting to Kyle's face being looking so alarmed and her little peekaboo boobies. Right.
What is that with that like?
That peekaboo top.
Terrible.
With that fanny pack clasp on your chest. Like, what are you doing? But
terrible.
Like, she obviously, Erica's a fucking dickhead, right? But once you kind of get to, if you land at Erica's a fucking dickhead, I mean, she did dickhead well enough in this, episode, I thought.
Thank
you for that, Ray.
You're right about all of that, Ray. It's like she, if you take empathy out, which you have to at this point, and know that she's going to speak lawyer speak, she performed something well. She got the thing that she wanted to accomplish. But here's my problem with also the narrative that she went with all season. And it's in her head. Like, I believe that she believes this, that it's her team or another team. She has centered herself in the story. And she has done a bad job of realizing that this isn't about her. You know what I mean?
Like, it's not even realizing Andy has yelled it at her. People have told her, we've witnessed her hearing, your tone is off. Like, she said it. She kept saying, oh, I wasn't angry enough or mad enough for you. And what I wanted to say is, no, we know you're angry. You're not compassionate enough. Mm. And that's what we're not getting from you. And then at one point, Andy kept saying, did you ask Tom if he did this thing? And Erica goes, I asked him, why would you leave me with millions of dollars and lawsuits pointed at me? It's like, no, what we are asking is, did you ask him if he did this to airplane crash, you know, widows and children? Mm-hmm. You're saying, Danielle, she cannot get it through her fucking head that you're right. We're okay with the anger. We're okay with a lot of it. But what we're not getting is the one piece, because I'm going to say something to you, Ray. I agree with you. I'm like, you know what? I actually don't think Erica knew that much. No, I think Erica is telling us the truth. I think she's trying to be better. She's trying to clarify. I do kind of applaud her showing up when she said, well, Lisa Vanderpump didn't and I did. I thought
that was a poor deflection, actually.
I thought okay. so too, because I was like, these, and Andy said too, those are very different things, A. And B, that you're not a hero because yeah. you showed up. You're not the hero here. Like, she's trying to think like, I have conquered, I have showed up, and it's like, but you showed up and you made it about you.
But like, what else is she supposed to do, right?
We want to see her hysterically crying and sobbing and saying, if Tom did this to these people, mm-hmm. I'm so angry at him for that.
Okay, but
not angry what he did to her. And she refuses to go there with empathy.
Okay, so I feel you 100%, which is why the lawyer speak kind of takes care of that for me. Because the minute she shows any compassion, she's vulnerable in a way that I think is different for you and I, who are normal people, not in the situation.
But she couldn't say allegedly, because she did sort of speak to that. She said, I can only say so much. Right. I just think even if she softened her tone
if you say,
a little.
I feel so bad for the alleged victims. You will laugh at me for putting alleged in there. I don't think she can win on that.
But is there a world? But wait, is there a world where she can, let me ask this, where she can go, look.
I am a lawyer. Go ahead.
This is a nightmare. This is a fucking nightmare. I'm sick about all of this, but this isn't about me. This is not about me.
Well, she keeps saying this isn't about me. I'm not looking to be a victim, but it's like, but it is.
But the thing is, it is about her, because the only reason we are talking about it, if we're being honest, oh my God, am I turning into an Erica advocate? Gross. Okay, my body just like contorted. But the story is about her.
Again, we're turning things over. We're a panel.
We're
this is the chat. This is the chew. This is the view. This is the whatever the fuck. We're talking.
We're only paying attention to this because of Erica. Beverly Hills has gotten the highest ratings it's gotten in a long time because of Erica.
Going back to ratings.
I mean, I've turned into Trump in that way. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what substance. But I just mean that we're watching Maleficent as opposed to Snow White. And like, we need to accept that we're watching Maleficent. I feel like it's like,
okay, instead of trying to change it and wishing it was different, you're wanting us to accept what we're seeing.
Well, you make me sound like a bad person when you say
No, I don't mean to. I really don't. I'm understanding what you're saying. It's like, I think we're all wishing and hoping to get something that we didn't get. But we still did get something, right, is what I'm hearing you say. And, like, we got some clarification.
And also, like, Erica is the bad guy, right? But we are just so uncomfortable with the bad guy being the star. Maybe that's just an American thing. We're just so uncomfortable with the bad guy being the star that we're, like, looking for her to do good girl things. You know, it's sort of like watching I, Tonya or whatever, where it's like, we've got to humanize. You know, we want to humanize a person so that we can get away with watching the story, right? So I don't have to admit every Wednesday at 8, I'm watching this rich bitch complain about money her man stole. I don't want to admit that to myself. So I'm going to be like, the victims, we are waiting to hear you say, I've waited 18 episodes in a row.
The only reason I'm watching is to wait for you to say that. I don't want to be watching this.
Yes.
So this is about, you're right, Ray. This is about us not wanting to be the bad guys.
So we're censoring ourselves.
Yes.
Wow. Ray. We don't want to be the bad guys.
We don't want to be the bad guys.
We don't want to be culpable. Yes. But we're all culpable.
I mean, honestly,
Ray, you've done it again.
You've done it again.
Not only did we just watch 24 episodes about this?
54.
I'll watch 100
100 more, right?
Yeah, 100 more.
And then on Sundays, sitting here like, okay, hurry up, producers. When is bitch getting arrested? Like, we're doing this. Yeah. We're here. Right. So we should just stop. You know what I'm saying? We should just stop pretending that we aren't here for
what
we're
saying.
You know, I'm sitting here being like, what crimes are coming up on Orange County? Didn't the New Girl's man stop paying taxes? Like, I'm ready. Listen, it's a true crime show. The genre has shifted, okay? They saw the popularity of podcasts.
The genre has shifted. Yeah.
It's a true crime show. Wow. Do you think Dirty John was an accident, or was that forecasting where the network was going?
Wow, Ray.
Okay.
This has been transformative.
This has been transformative.
Now, I wanted to get into the Lisa Rinna of it all, but I don't know that
I think we can right now. I want to, because we have so little time today, Danielle. The one thing I want to touch on just briefly, as you mentioned, Orange County, is the disgusting fucking pieces of shit that are Rick and Kelly Dodd.
Oh, boy.
He dressing up as Alec Baldwin on the set of Rust for Halloween.
Time out. You telling fucking lies. You lying to me.
No.
Shut up. In real life?
And Kelly Dodd shows up in a Native American headdress, like a goddamned insensitive idiot.
You fucking
They're
joking.
Such fucking pieces of shit.
No, in real life?
This is who we're dealing with.
In real life, this they did that? Life. Oh my God.
Yes, Halloween. Happy Halloween. That's what they did. They're fucking pieces of goddamn shit.
Wait, they did? Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, there's really nothing more to say. Well, I guess we'll leave that there. But
yeah,
it's
the
such
evidence
a fucking
presents
piece
itself.
Of shit.
They're garbage.
Yeah, we don't need to turn that one over in our
Wait,
heads.
Oh, no, so what? Oh, why? Okay, I'm genuinely shocked. Like,
a woman has died. It's so fucking disgusting.
Yeah, that's
like a mother. I'm just like so horrified.
Wow. Because like even with the Native American headdress, right? Like you could chalk that up to being like, you know, standard racist provocation for people like this, right? But like a person died on accident, and because the person who was involved in the accident is somebody whose opinions you don't like, or SNL, we're making a joke. Like, what in the fuck is wrong with these people?
Gross.
You know, I used to like her a whole lot. I liked her first season because the way that she, made like Shannon and, even though I super fucking love Heather, Heather's my queen. I loved at the time, like what it looked like to see her buck up against rules and bogus pretensions and things like that. And I think, you know, she's.
Yeah, that was an interesting dichotomy initially.
And then it's like, as is like, become the case with like weirdly, literally everything, this like weirdo culture war we're suddenly in. It's like, it's not just pushing back against rules that don't make sense. It's not just like being provocative for fun. It's like just doing away with respect and boundaries and institutions altogether. Like, when, I mean, America's always been a terrible place, but I just can't, like, when did we get here that like, for Halloween, a person we can genuinely rightly call a celebrity of sorts thinks that an interesting, edgy, fun thing to do would be to mock someone who tragically died on a movie. Like, how did we get here? You know?
Yeah, it's almost like this level of provocation for clicks.
Right.
The
dopamine rush.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like that has usurped any sort of.
Well, and Donald Trump's fucking son is selling t-shirts mocking it as well on his website.
Right.
I mean, it's just.
Like,
so
I just
crazy.
Can't picture. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm mad at you because I'm a famous person and you, like, did an imitation of me because you think my politics are bad. So I'm going to celebrate the death of somebody that you like. That is such like whatever. They're not functioning with logic. But I mean, the logic of that is just such a crazy. Yo, Kelly Dodd's fucking nuts. I mean, this like QAnon shit was already too much for me. But like the
headdress. Speaking of QAnon, Ray.
Oh, God. Are you going
to
tell
I'm
me
sorry
something
to cut you off.
About Gretchen? What did Gretchen do?
No. Okay.
I love that that's the jump that you made, though.
I'm pulling it up. Speaking of QAnon, so we also got some very crazy news out of our circles. I'm much more invested in this than Danielle is, but Christine of Sister Wives has issued a statement that she is leaving Cody. And so... no more Coyote Pass. No more. All of our dreams have been shattered. And that's the couple I thought was like having
you know
sex
she
the, most,
hates
the
me?
Most in love.
She
why did
she
why
blocked
you?
Me on Twitter? We got into it. We got into a little bit of sass in 2020. You know?
About what in the world? About the move to Coyote Pass? What?
No. It was because, you know, I was live tweeting and...
I know I don't know.
See, I'm not smart like you guys and talk just about this on my podcast or with my friends.
That hundreds of thousands of people listen to us. That's that smart. I
mean, yes. But at least, you know, there's no like written evidence.
Permanent record.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was watching the first season and I dislike Christine quite a bit. In the way that I disliked Erica even before this, which is just like, there's nothing authentic seeming to me about her. It's all a performance. And I know it's bogus, but I like my housewives telling the truth or like being themselves. And
or at least pretending to tell the truth.
Yeah. And so I was like tweeting stuff like about how whack I think she is.
Now, were you tagging
no,
her?
No, I never do. I never, ever do. So she's Twitter searched her name and tried to get sassy with me. And then...
She came at
she
you.
She came at me. And unfortunately for me, I don't have any back down. So we went at it back and forth. And then she eventually blocked me because I made fun of her for pointing out some shit about Black Lives Matter. Like I'm black and she mentioned Black Lives Matter. I don't remember why, but she did. And
how did she get there?
I don't remember. I was very high all of 2020. But yes.
Ray, I had no idea we were among someone who'd had an altercation with Christine Brown. I am so happy we got here.
Yeah,
what I was
sorry.
Gonna simply
what happened
say
with her and
no,
Cody.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Cody Brown on his Instagram. I just want to quickly read his bio, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Father of 18, husband to 4. I'll love them all. Passionate about, in caps, individual rights.
Oh my God, I just told that whole long story and it's the wrong Christine.
Which one?
What?
You're talking about Sister Wives.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Selling Sunset.
Christine Quinn?
I was like, well, I'm trying to picture Christine searching her name. Like, I don't even know if Christine knows how to post anything that's not LuLaRoe. Right,
I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
Please,
honestly, this is even better.
Okay.
No, this is even better. I refuse to edit that out.
That Christine.
I'll edit anything else out but that. Okay. I refuse. It's too good.
That Christine would not argue.
We needed that story, and I needed to at first think it was Christine Brown,
right.
And now I need to know it was Christine Quinn.
But I'm also glad because we are the place where you can confuse Christine Brown and Christine Quinn. We are this is your target audience.
I hope so.
Last thing. Cody has a little dog whistle for QAnon where he says, apologetic for taking that, quote, red pill, dang it. And then writes simply, awake, exclamation point.
Well, you know, if you keep moving 30 kids from Arizona to Vegas back and forth comfortably, you have some commitment to strange shit anyway, you know, so...
Ray, we've bid adieu to Danielle. It's now just you and me here turning things over in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk. Let's get into Potomac. This was a season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Karen and Ray have said I do up a gargantuan marble staircase. Macy Gray has performed. You know, a 3-wick candle is out, a 1-wick candle is out. A lot has happened. Happy and Ness have had their first season with us.
Oh.
What are your thoughts?
You know, can I admit that the season lost steam for me a few weeks back?
Absolutely. You've admitted a lot today, so I think that is really quite fair to admit.
You know.
Okay. How so? And when did we lose you? Like at about Giselle's, the construction scene or
yeah,
when?
I think that was the peak for me. Yeah, I think that was the peak for me because,
okay,
unfortunately, I am a green-eyed bandit stan, and I like the pace at which Giselle moves to destroy people's life. It's rapid fire, okay?
I like the pace Giselle moves to destroy people's lives.
But like,
see, I'm a Giselle stan.
Me too. Like, I love it. Yeah. And so like, it was just, it started to get exhausting when it felt like to me, like Wendy wasn't moving on quick enough. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah.
God forgive her. Like, God forgive me. Like, she cares about her family and stuff. But I'm just kind of like, I'm kind of like, okay, you said you're over it, but you both still have an attitude with each other. And so now we're going to have passive aggressive or incomplete conversations that will bore me, you know? And then,
yes, it's like now we have to deal with all this.
Yes, exactly. It's like, it's not like it's funny when Giselle and Wendy see each other and throw shade. Like, I'm never amused between their, like, in the banter, at the banter between them. It's not like watching Karen and Giselle, because Wendy is a lot more self-serious and not in a delusional way, like, that's funny the way Karen is. So that got tiresome. I hate the whole attacking women because they don't have husbands thing. It's just boring. So the whole, like, you can bring your husband and you can bring your husband and that whole, and then it's like, and you can bring your luggage. It was just kind of like, okay, I'm over this. And then, and then Candace just went too far for me, finally.
Me too. Finally. And I feel like we've held on with her a long time. We deserve credit for that.
Yes. I defended her so hardcore last year. I still defend her. I think she was done extremely wrong. But she does have a hard time regulating her emotions, and it edged into unfun to
Yeah. You said it so, like,
But it's not...
It became unfun.
It's not fun anymore. Like, there's, like... There's like
when you're going after someone's mom who has drug issues, it's not fun.
But like, even
she really crossed the line.
What's so crazy to me is like that wasn't even the most offensive part of the fight for me. It was just the like incessant, like in, like Dorit, incessant. It was like every time Mia uttered a single word, there was just a very vulgar, nasty thing to drag her down. It was like,
do you think Candace is jealous of Mia for in some unconscious way a little bit? And normally I hate when people say like she's jealous as like a defense. I don't think it is, but for us, I just had a little flash of it of like, I think Mia is actually a nice person, and Candace kind of felt probably like this is going to be a fun housewife that's come into this territory. I'm just curious.
I wonder if it's like Candace didn't get married for money and the other women might have. And I wonder if she's resentful of that because her mama, you know.
You don't think someone would marry G, a penniless G? You don't think anyone would marry?
I mean... You know, I was trying to look at him and see if like he could have been hot when he was like younger and less creepy, you know, maybe, but definitely not marrying a penniless Michael fucking Wombat Darby, you know, but like, I wonder if she's just frustrated because, you know, Mia, who did marry for money ostensibly, I don't know, you know, dismissed something that she feels she worked very hard for. I think it's maybe not jealousy, but sort of resentment of some kind where it's like, you get to have an easy life laying on your back is how Candace would say it. It's not how I would say it. But,
well, laying on your back in the chiropractic office.
Yeah, right? That's a good save. Thank you.
Getting her adjustments.
getting You're adjusted. Welcome. Yeah, I think it's a money insecurity thing. Maybe not jealousy. I don't know that she wants to be married to a G. I just think maybe she wishes her circumstance were less troubled. Her mom keeps pointing out that her husband is broke. I think that's the issue.
It's tough. I really like Chris, personally. I think Candace is quite lucky to have Chris.
Okay, is it okay to admit that I think he's hot? Yeah, he's hot.
Of course.
Okay, he's hot. He's hot. When he dresses well.
If he would get rid of that goatee.
If he would just neaten it up, I want to go back to Candace's first season of Chris. Like, Chris, season 3, slimmer, dressed like he needed to show somebody something. You know what I mean? He was
always bringing out, like, hors d'oeuvres for everyone.
Yes. We, like, that, Chris. Yeah. But Candace has to kind of go back to being that character.
I do too. I feel like he is patient with her. I mean, like, if I behaved like that, I would be out on the, like, with my right. husband. Like, I do think he's good for her, but I actually think she's defensive of him too.
Do we think that he's good for her, or is he also messy? I'm starting to think that he is also messy. There's no way that you are a 100% patient, kind, understanding person, and you have a wife like Candace.
I think Candace is a freak in the bedroom. I think Chris really? Is used to having a vanilla, boring life.
Okay, okay.
And here comes
she
Candace.
Spices it up.
And so, she's
yeah,
a spark
so maybe
plug
he's
and he finds
thrilled,
her funny.
Maybe he's thrilled by the arguments too, in a little way. Like, you know, maybe it's like,
yes, he's getting something out
yes,
of it.
Yes. Like, maybe it's like, oh, Candace, you took it too far. And then, like, he gets into the bedroom. He goes, call me what you called Giselle and spit in my mouth. Like, he's so, he's turned on.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
turned on by it.
Yes.
It has to be.
And I think it gives him something to play the role of the,
yeah,
like,
something
calming
to do.
Force
yeah.
or, yeah. There's something he's getting there for sure. And I do think Candace is beautiful. Like, I think there's.
Oh, there's Candace's
but she's pushed
body.
Me too far.
Is
I know she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. Like I remember seeing her walk into, like, I don't know, something about the way jeans sit on her body. Like, she just wears
yeah.
jeans
yes.
so
yeah.
fucking well. Anyway, that's so weird and creepy. But yes,
she's a gorgeous woman. That is true, and that's what's almost annoying about her.
Yes.
I'm like, ugh.
I need her. I don't want her gone for good. I need her on a break. I need, because I wonder if, you know, she's so stressed out. She's doing a lot. I forgot even that she's getting her master's, why she's doing all this. It's
that never registered to me till now. Okay.
So it's like, she's doing a lot. Like, maybe she needs to step back so that she can have time to decompress before she, like, levels 50,000 synonyms for prostitute as her coworker, you know.
And I'm tired of her putting down Ashley.
Oh, are you? Am I? I don't know if I'm tired of that yet.
I am. I hate Michael, but I'm like, just attack her looks and, like, her breastfeeding. I don't know. I'm just
hyper aware of, like, looks being pointed out this season, and I don't know why that was. Like, were they doing it more? Were they louder this time? Like, body shaming seemed to come up a lot this year.
A lot. It's not the body positive generation,
no.
these gals
no.
and the housewives. Okay, that's just straight up.
They still use slut as an insult and mean it, you know?
Oh, they're not with us.
Yeah.
I'm
a hoe. What you talking about?
We're watching them. So, but I will say, friends and I, we were breathlessly passing around the Potomac trailer for the reunion.
Mm-hmm.
A wow, wow, wee wow. When Candace yells, it did make me laugh. Ashley yells, she's like, the way they cut it to be kind of like a Halloween trailer also really made me laugh. But Ashley yells, she's like, she just yells at Candace, like, your forehead is just as big as mine. I was like, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm excited for that. I have a love for, like, for Giselle and Candace. I will say this. If I was their friend, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to cross them, but I can see having some real laughs with both of them.
I think
and
that-
I know that's.
I think they're probably so much fun. I think
fun.
I think also I fun. Love Robin so much because, like, she, see, I know, but I like the package. I love Robin because my favorite thing in the fucking world is, one, I think she'd be a very fun hang. I do. I think she's up for anything.
If she's not asleep.
If she's not asleep. But.
Or bleeding.
As a fibroid American, I felt her, okay?
Okay, okay.
I was like,
and I hear that.
I hear that. She didn't tell us that she had fibroids, but having been in some...
Tell us you have fibroids without telling
yeah,
us.
I was like, okay. You know, who wants to sit on the toilet for hours with men walking around the house?
All right,
But okay, what I do love about Robin is that whenever there's a fight or something bogus happening... Robin is immediately me, and she just looks around at everyone and bursts into the wildest laughter. She did it when Wendy was talking about TikTok Mia. Robin just looks around, like, almost to say, like, to the cameras, are you guys fucking seeing this?
She is like the Greek chorus of
yes.
this cast. I could do without a scallop.
Yes, I I didn't get what everyone was excited about. I think she, you know, maybe she articulated herself a couple times, but I thought she had a weird fixation with Mia too. And like, I don't know,
she's ultimately like too normal.
She's
in a way,
normal. She's very pretty, dresses well, but like,
but not in a normal like Kyle way. Like you're fun and you're still bringing me.
It was like
luxury and money.
Yeah,
and
it was
sisters.
Just, it was just like that's a pretty painting, I guess, right? But it's not a Mona Lisa, you know what I mean? Like, I just wasn't intrigued by it. It was just, she's well put together and she sounds like she'd make a good cast wife, like a housewife, but yeah, it just like, it looked perfectly okay. It was fine. It was just a pretty picture.
Wow. Well, Potomac, I hope the reunion brings something to you, because we see that Wendy is bringing, like, you know, the things we used to use for science reports, you know, like that hard foam. Which I do appreciate, because it's like a lot of them are bringing receipts that are just so tiny I can't see. So I do appreciate her kind of elevating the game of just like simply letting me see it better. But
that's,
it's a lot.
Interesting, because that made me go, oh God, of course.
Oh no, it's just, it's so thirsty.
I think she's
just, like,
so
please.
Thirsty. That is it.
I don't care for Wendy.
No,
I don't care for Wendy.
I
said it since fucking day one.
Yes.
Nobody was
with me. I was with you all of last year. All of last year. Thank I swear. You. The first, Thank the you. Minute she showed up, I was like, not for me. Doesn't do it for me. Don't do it.
Not
okay. She's
for
so
me. I she, like her husband, not for me.
Yes. Thirsty is exactly correct. It's always so try hard, right? Nothing feels relaxed or comfortable or natural. There's effort. She's so effortful. That's everything.
And she's got a major edge to her.
Yes, she's always
like a lot of anger simmering.
She's always like, she's always ready to go. It's always there. Yeah. It's always right here. Underneath the surface, always right here. And it's just like, girl, can we just like sit back a little bit?
And you're right. Like, she doesn't really understand the assignment to me. Like, right. She wants to linger on things. She wants to try to actually make things better. It's like, sweetie, no one wants anything to be made better here. Okay? We're just going to move on, brush it under the rug, and maybe it'll come back up on a yacht party down
exactly.
the line.
Exactly. This is the tit for tat game. Okay?
Yes.
Not the resolve it kind of, but then also just hate the person for the rest of your life quietly and politely. That's
Thank
so annoying.
You. And I want to see you drinking too much and stumbling down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
That's what I need from you.
She's very controlled.
Yes. And that's what I don't like in my housewives.
Yeah, me neither. We like them authentic. Yes.
Yep. Okay, let's quickly transition, if you would, with me to Salt Lake.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh my God. What Andy said while I was doing Watch What Happens Live is that not this week that's coming up, not the one we just saw, nor the one we're about to see, but in 2 weeks, he said he does believe in his heart and soul it's one of the greatest episodes of Housewives television of all time.
Yeah.
So that feels exciting, and I've gotten, you know, I'm excited. I think that's big for him to say that.
First of all, I'm obsessed with you whenever you're on Watch What Happens Live. Now, you have to tell me, does Whitney smell good? I just wonder. She smells so good, right?
So good. Very floral and approachable. She's a nice person. She's a nice girl.
Right?
You know, she just is.
She's my favorite on the cast. I love, love, love Whitney.
Now, I haven't gotten my nose into Iris and Boo Boo or you know, her product line.
I'm comfortable believing that I'm not her target demographic, right? She's on that side of Instagram where like everyone takes pictures in white farmhouses and you know,
and you're comfortable
the same
with that.
Mommy, but, and I'm good over here. You know what I mean?
But you know what? To me, she's like, yes, she's a mom. But actually, what I find refreshing about her is she's still like out having fun and like she's. I just like her vibe. I think.
Yeah,
and I think
I like
she's much. You know. I don't know. And I know it's hard when I do the shows with people because I end up kind of like can't help but
liking them.
Yeah. But she, of everyone I've done it with, she's the most genuine. I'll give her that. Mm. I really liked her, actually.
Yeah. I like her because like, even though there are moments of contrivance, you see right through her. I don't think that there's like, she
any
has
artifice.
That same. Yeah. Do you remember when, Ashley on Potomac, like her first two seasons, she just said whatever she was thinking.
That's such a good comparison. It's like very porous person.
Yeah, exactly. Very porous. And then Ashley started to hide things for her husband. And I don't think we're going to run into
she had a lot to hide.
right? I don't think we're going to run into a situation where we like hide from Whitney. I think she's determined to be as honest because she just kind of wants everyone to go like, duh! Didn't you see? I was saying it the whole time. And like a person like that is like really fun.
And it's fun that her and Heather, who to me are quote the most normal on the series, her and Heather, I like that they're cousins. I like to feel safe in the fact that they're related, even though not really, because it grounds me, you know?
Yeah.
Like I like at the end of the day, I know that blood is thicker than water and they'll turn to each other.
Well, New Jersey taught us that that's not necessarily true.
Right.
Yeah, thick as thieves.
But I think that they learn family differently in Utah. So I think that Whitney will never turn on Heather and vice versa. However, the friendships turn very quickly on that show. Because what is Lisa doing? What is Lisa doing? What is she doing with Cameron? What is she doing?
Okay, Ray, I don't know if you're aware. Now, what I'll say is this, again, turning things over, I actually don't want to get into this, but I think that, you know, when Cameron appeared, I think we all can agree it felt very kind of staged and kind of set up and it was kind of like weird. And then he's pulling Meredith aside.
It felt like when the guy asked Melissa if she was a stripper, like you remember when the person came to the, it felt like that.
And also when the caterers just like slid in and were like, we didn't have anything to do with that thing that happened with Sarah Paulson. But I will say, so yes to all of that, but Cameron is dead.
I saw that. And I also saw that there is no given cause of death. Now, we have to remember that we are still in a pandemic, but it was hard.
I know. And he seemed like such a nice person.
He seems amazing. And then you have other people, not me, talking about threats and things like that that they've gotten. It's sort of not to reduce the loss of a good man to a blip in someone else's story, but it's kind of adding to like the mystery surrounding Mary in general. Just like the things you hear about the church, and then here's another spooky thing to add to like...
Yeah, here's a young person, a relatively young man.
Yes.
Who's essentially kind of come on the show to be a whistleblower. Now, do you think this is all Lisa Barlow behind all this because Mary kind of challenged her?
I think Lisa's behind it. I'm curious about what the impetus or like the catalyst was, because it can't be that you got mad at saying Google and now I have to expose your church. You know what I mean? Like that is such an outsized reaction.
At a certain point, it is a storyline. It's a story that's been out there swirling, like kind of what's going on. It's been very shrouded with the church. So there may be one of the, you know, the cast members felt a small responsibility to kind of bring it into the light a bit.
But doesn't Lisa have so much to do, right? Her son is running mini empires. Okay.
Someone DM'd me. I wish I could give the credit, but really. Oh, I know who. It was Chris Kelly, who was our guest. The other week, he told us, he's like, please rewatch the scene when Lisa picks up her son from school and is like, baby, where do you want to go to eat? She's mouthing his lines to him in the rear view mirror.
No, you're lying.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh, yes. My God. Everything
that
is so
idea
creepy.
That like it. This is my kid's business plan. Like I had nothing to do with this. It's so entitled and gross. It turns me off so much.
What's so frustrating about Lisa is that I think she has potential to be one of the greatest housewives ever. Like,
wow.
Ever.
Wow. And you see it being squandered.
It's being squandered because she is too image conscious and not in a like careful to make good TV kind of way. She is committed in her real life, I think, and her TV life to be the nastiest person without you finding out. And it's not like,
but she's not nastiest. Good at it, and she's not good enough at it.
Right. It's not like nastiest person without you finding out, but we have the thrill of there being a mastermind and the audience is in on it. You know what I mean? It would be like if you know, it would be like if she were on Big Brother And instead of telling us the plan in the diary room, she's lying to the audience in the diary room as well. Wow. You know?
Yes. Because Lisa Rinna will stir the pot sometimes verbally, but Lisa's taking action.
Right. And she's like, but she's owning the action too. Rinna doesn't, she doesn't pretend she's not an asshole, right? She just comes up with lies for why it's okay. She gives you justification.
Although when she was saying, like, I have to live with myself and I regret all that. I'm girl, like, you're fine. You're sleeping just fine next to Harry Hamlin.
Exactly. Oh my God, his old fine ass. Anyway, Lisa is not, Lisa's not being honest. Like, it should make sense. I should know why you would exclude Jen from an event that you would invite Whitney to, but also be telling Jen about shit Whitney did. Like, tell me, make it make sense to me so I can be in on the joke with you. Yeah. You're leaving me confusion.
Right. You're leaving us out and you guys have nothing without us.
Yeah, exactly.
We're right here.
So it's like Mary's not going to tell us the truth because she's kooky. It's not there. It's not available for us. But like Lisa is obfuscating on purpose a lot, and it makes it hard to watch. So like I want to see how she behaves with Jen once that legal shit comes up, because as Andy says, it's the greatest episode of Housewives we've seen in a long time, then I want to know what Lisa figures her positioning should be, because she seems to be somebody who's constantly trying to pivot.
One last thing I want to quickly say to you is that, so we did a live Halloween show last week and we had a boot on the ground that it feels very important to share with everyone, which is that a gentleman came on from Utah and said he is friends, and I'm going to get it all wrong, but it's 2 degrees away. It's like he's friends with someone, a realtor or something, who knows Stu, Jen's assistant, I put in quotes, who she's like, buying jewelry with. It's so strange. And who was also indicted. And apparently, when the first season came out last year, his wife had no idea he was on a reality show and no idea he was working with Jen Shah. His wife did not know he was going to film.
Isn't he getting divorced or something?
I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised.
That makes me terrified of dating, because if my partner had a whole life that I had no idea about and the public got to know.
It's one thing if like you have a second family because you're like, I hope they won't find out. But it's another thing to be like, you will find out because I'm about to go on one of the more popular reality shows.
But also, I'm going to go on one of the more popular reality shows with my partner literally in crime. Like, what the
partner in literal crime. That's so good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No to all of it.
The major takeaway for me, besides your altercation with Christine Quinn, is that... these shows have shifted into true crime territory, and we've known it, but to just hear it, it's like it's all clicked into place for me.
Yeah. It's our fault. We did it. It was us.
There's blood on our hands.
Yeah. I feel like the Venn diagram for people who obsessively consume true crime podcasts and people who obsessively consume reality TV is a circle. It's a circle.
And there's a big kind of Facebook group about the podcast sort of as a jumping off point, but its own community, and they have a true crime arm that I have heard is quite thriving, quite strong.
Yeah. So
wow. Thank you so much, Raisani. You've done so much in this last hour, so much heavy lifting here and so many eye-opening insights that
I hope I didn't offend anyone.
You know what? We absolutely did. And shame on me and shame on you.
Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Tell us the name of your podcast again, please, and where we can find you.
Oh, yes. Dizziest Bee at the Table. It's on Apple, iTunes, everything. I talk about Housewives, but I guess we're going to pivot, I don't know, to something where I just talk because I haven't talked about Housewives in a while. Yeah. And I have a Patreon also called Dizziest Bee at the Table. It's named after what Karen calls Robin during a fight in season 2. You're the dizziest bitch at this table, Robin. You can find me on Twitter, Ruffizzle87 on Instagram, Twitter, Raysani. And yeah, I'm out here watching TV like all of you guys. So yeah.
That's every one of us. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Ray. Thank you to our producer, Renee. Thank you to our editor, Caitlin. Thank you to Earwolf. What a delight you are, Ray.